Today's message is do not be afraid. Say it with me, don't be afraid. All right, friends, we're entering the Christmas season here in America, and you know, the world, non-believers, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, they have their understanding of Christmas, their ideas of what Christmas is about. To the world, to those who don't follow Christ, Christmas is about what? Gifts? Just exchanging gifts? It's about the lights. It's about time with family and friends. It's about relaxation. It's about getting away. So the world has these materialistic ideas of what Christmas is all about. But we as believers in Jesus Christ, we as followers of Christ, know what the true reason for the Christmas season is, right? The true reason for the Christmas season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ into this world over 2,000 years ago. There is no other reason for the Christmas season. It's the celebrating of the birth of Jesus. Basically, it's a birthday party for Jesus Christ. Could you say amen?
Amen.
Say it with me. Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. All right, today's text is found in Matthew 1, verses 18 to 23. Matthew 1, 18 to 23. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. And it says this, talking about the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1, 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what God had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, Mary and Joseph, they were engaged. He was going to marry her. He finds out that she was what? Before they came together in marriage, he found out that she was with child. So Joseph, her husband, didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. So what did he do? What did he do? He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he thought about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what's in her has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph was struck with fear. Who knows what was going through Joseph's mind? What are people going to think about this? I haven't yet married her. She's pregnant. I don't want people thinking that I slept with her, you know, so forth and so on. So his mind was racked with thoughts of fear. And the angel of the Lord that appeared to Joseph said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife. Is that good? So the same word applies to us today, friends. I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to encourage you today, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I don't know what's causing you fear in your life today. Maybe it's an unexpected report. Maybe it's an unexpected loss in your life. Loss of a job, loss of money, loss of friends, loss of family, whatever it might be. Maybe your mind, your spirit has been struck by fear. Fear is a negative spiritual force that comes straight from the enemy of our souls. Tormenting fear is not from God. Tormenting fear is of the devil. What is the word of God saying? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Friend, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that's exactly what fear is. That's what tormenting fear is. Tormenting fear is not of God. It is of the devil. Tormenting fear would want to keep you up at night so that you cannot sleep in peace. Does that make sense? All right. Now fear, remember this. Fear expects the worst possible end result. Tormenting fear expects the worst possible end result. Seeing the worst in things. Now, this man named Tom Letting sends me updates every week, and he's a little Bible teaching. And he says this on his most recent one: the second greatest force in the world is fear. It is impossible to estimate the number of lives it has ruined. A famous psychiatrist said, anxiety is the great modern plague. Nevertheless, let us not dwell on the second greatest force in the world, but rather on the greatest force of all, and that is faith. Fear is very strong, but faith is much stronger. Faith can actually cancel out fear completely. So fear is a force that comes not from God, but it comes, tormenting fear comes from the devil. Is that making sense? And when you allow fear to control your life, and I'm preaching to myself today, you miss out on some very good things in life. If you allow fear to control your life, your minds, you'll miss out on some very good benefits in life. Now listen to this. It comes from the speaker's quote book. Page 195. A backwoods farmer, sitting on the steps of a tumble-down shack, was approached by a stranger who stopped for a drink of water. "How's your wheat coming along?" asked the stranger. "Didn't plant none?" "Really? I thought this was good wheat country." "Afraid it wouldn't rain?" "Well, how's your corn crop?" "Ain't got none. Afraid of corn blight. The stranger, confused but persevering, continued, "Well, sir, how are your potatoes?" "Didn't plant no potatoes either. Afraid of potato bugs?" "For Pete's sake, man," the stranger asked, "what did you plant?" "Nothing," said the farmer. "I just played it safe." Fear kept him from taking risks, and as a result, he lost out. And that's exactly what fear does. Wouldn't you agree? That it paralyzes you. Tormenting fear of the devil will paralyze you from taking any steps in life, from going forward with your life. And so the first step in building faith against fear is to stand up to your fears with faith. The first step in coming against fear is what? It's to face your fears with faith. The first step in coming against tormenting fear is to face it with faith. And faith is the other spiritual force. Faith comes from the Almighty God. Fear, tormenting fear comes from the devil, but faith comes from God. Whereas fear expects the worst possible end result, faith expects what? It expects the best results. Say it with me. Faith expects the best and possible results. In Jesus' name. And faith is what God honors, friends. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. If the writer says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, to me that says that with faith, it is possible to do what? It is possible to please God. And that's what God honors, is faith. People who step out in life with faith in God, taking risk, are the ones who will end up getting blessed in life. Let me say it again. People who step out in life with faith in God, taking risks, are the ones who will end up getting blessed in life. You know, if you've got fear controlling your life, you're never going to take any risks. You're never going to step out. You'll never fill out that job application. You'll never go to that employer. You'll never apply to that school. You know, you'll never do so forth and so on if you're being controlled by fear. But if you're expecting the best end possible result through faith in God, you'll end up stepping out and taking difficult risks, and the payoff could be very great. Is that making sense today? It's trusting in a big God. That's what faith is. Faith is knowing that you know that you know that the best is to come in your life. It's knowing that God has got your back. Faith is knowing that God has got your back. He's not going to let you slip. He's not going to let you fall. He's going to uphold you with his mighty right hand. Is that making sense? Faith expects the best possible end result. And when you think of faith, think of this. It's a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God will do the good thing in your life that He has promised to you from His Word, personally in your life, that God is able to do the good thing in your life that He has promised you. Is that making sense? Now, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Matthew 9, 27 through 30. And these are some accounts of people who had faith, who stepped out and received God's blessings and miracle. Matthew 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. What was Jesus asking the blind men? He was asking them, "Do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe that you're able to restore our sight." They said, "Yes, Lord." They had a confident yes of faith. And what did Jesus do in response in honoring their faith? Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. He said, "According to your faith, will it be done unto you?" He touched their eyes. He touched them, and their sight was restored. They had faith that Jesus could do it for them. And what did Jesus do for them? Jesus did what? He restored their sight. So friends, you may be dealing with a physical illness in your life today. Step out in faith. Just start praising God in the midst of your sickness and saying, "God, I know that I know that I know deep down on the inside, God, that you are able to heal this illness in my life. God, I know that nothing is impossible with you." Start doing some of the things you need to do in order to receive that miracle. Maybe dieting. Changing up your diet. If you've got high blood pressure, change the diet. If you've got diabetes and you love those sweet foods, take the risk and stop eating those sweets. It'll help you in the long run. It'll give God the ability. You're working in conjunction with God when you do something in the natural, and God will heal you. You see, God is super. We've got to do something in the natural. If you've got high blood pressure, if you've got diabetes, you keep eating the sweets, guess what? You may never be healed. But if you start doing something in the natural, you start cutting out the sweets, you start changing up your diet, working in partnership with God, God is super, you do something in the natural, the supernatural power of God goes into effect in your life. And God can heal you. Amen? Is that making sense today? So taking risks in life. Now, Matthew chapter 17, another account of faith. Matthew chapter 17. Verses 14 through 21. Matthew 17, 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. Verse 15. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Verse 20. He replied, "Because you have so little," what? "So little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So this father did what in this account? The father of the demon-possessed boy did what? What did he do? He stood on his faith. He stepped out in faith and brought the boy to Jesus. They were brought to the disciples first, but the disciples couldn't do anything for the boy. So then this man had the courage and the boldness to bring his demon-possessed son to whom? To bring to Jesus. It failed once with the disciples, but he took, I wouldn't say he took a risk, but he stepped out and he knew that if he brought his son to Jesus, that his son would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Disciples came to Jesus. Jesus, why couldn't we drive the demon out? And what did Jesus say? Because you have so little faith. But Jesus had great what? Jesus had great what? Faith in the Father. Great faith, knowing that his Father, through him, could deliver the boy. Imagine this boy is demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. And Jesus steps out in faith, prays for him, and he's delivered. Isn't that awesome? So faith steps out. It takes risks. It's a knowing that you know that you know that God can do it for you. Is that making sense? Last account, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your what? Your suffering. This woman had bled for 12 years. The doctors could not stop the bleeding. She spent all she had. Instead of getting better, she grew what? She grew worse. But she took a risk, right? She stepped out in what? Faith. She said, I just know that I know that I know that if I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, this bleeding will stop. So she stepped out. She took the risk. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She didn't care what people around her thought. People must have thought, this woman is crazy. This woman is bumping into people. She's just shoving her way through to touch Jesus. But she didn't care. She took the risk, not caring what people thought. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. Is that making sense? She stepped out in faith. She just knew that she knew that she knew that if she touched the garment of Jesus, she would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. You see, people were bumping into Jesus. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, who touched me? And they're like, Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you? People are bumping into you all around you. He said, no, this was a different kind of touch. I know that when she touched me, power went out of me. She touched him with a touch of what? She touched him with a touch of faith. And God honored that faith. He healed her of her infirmity. And that's the kind of touch that God is looking for in us, friends. He's looking for us to stretch out our hands in faith. And say, God, I know that you can do this for me. God, I know that you can bring about a miracle in my life. God, I know it looks impossible to me right now. It looks impossible. I mean, there's no way out of this. But God, I thank you that you are the God who makes the impossible possible. And that's exactly what God did for her. He made the impossible possible. He dried up the issue of blood. And friend, I don't know what your situation is today. But guess what? We serve a God who makes the impossible possible. It may be a job situation. It may be a bad report. It may be a lost relationship. I don't know what your situation is today, but don't think it's impossible. It may be impossible in your own human mind, but with God, all things are possible. You just gotta know that you know that you know on the inside by faith that though it seems impossible to human minds, I know that with my God, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible to him who believes. Who said that? Jesus, God. Everything is possible for him who believes. So maybe you had money stolen from you, and it seems to you that it'll never be recovered. But guess what? We serve a miracle-working God. He can recover those finances for you. You know, you may have lost a child. You may have lost a relationship. You might think that you'll be single the rest of your life, but guess what? We serve a God who makes the impossible possible, miraculously, outside the bounds of our human thinking. He could do something that you never imagined to restore to you what the enemy took from your life. Amen? Is that making sense today? You might be in the pit of depression today. You can't seem to climb out of this pit of depression. We serve a God who makes the impossible possible and deliver you immediately from that despondent state. Is that making sense? You may be addicted to some type of chemical, to cigarettes, and you're like, man, I'll never get off this drug. I'll never get off this alcohol. I'll never get off these cigarettes, man. It's just impossible. But I'm here to tell you today that we serve a God who makes the impossible possible, and he's so miraculous in his ways. He's such a miracle working God that even though it seems impossible for you to stop smoking, he can cause you to stop like cold turkey. Because he is the miracle-working God. Amen? Amen? Nothing is impossible with him. But we have got to have faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a what? Anybody? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him.